What the wonderful thing about God, one of the wonderful things about God is just how he works. I shouldn't be amazed. I mean, he's done it time and time and time again, but just thinking about how, kind of what we've heard and some of the things we've already been talking about today, how they tie in with the thought. And the thing is this is something, you know, as a minister of God, you know, God gives different things, thoughts and things from time to time, and we don't always know. We seek the Lord to know, Lord, what would you have to bring forth today, you know, and it seemed like some things were on my mind earlier this week, but the Lord brought me back to something that he brought to me several weeks ago. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness. We don't have committee meetings where we decide what we're going to preach about. That's nothing but the Holy Ghost and his workings. So we know that he is faithful to us. So I desire your prayers this afternoon as we look into something here. There's a verse of a, well, just, it's more than a verse, but there's a song that we sing. And the words go kind of close to these words. My heart says amen to my will, Lord. A little bit, right? So wait a minute, you're telling me that there's a little bit of difference then between my will and thy will, that there's a little bit of difference there? Yeah. Yes, there is. Yes, and y'all, you are absolutely correct. Yes, the song says, my heart says amen to thy will, yes. Lord. Yes. So, you know, if we just go down to the root of these two words, you know, obviously me and my is associated as with what the brother was talking about this morning, just what concerns me, yeah. Right? Versus as a songwriter in this song talking about thee, he's talking about referencing Almighty God. Amen. Talking about Almighty God, see. So the chorus of this song, number 128, it says, my heart says amen to thy will, Lord. And I know that thou lovest me still. While I bow low in humble submission, my heart says amen to thy will. So I'd like us to think about that a little bit this afternoon. And if you have some thoughts or scriptures that come to your mind, please feel free to let me know so we can get that. We certainly want to hear about those this afternoon. But thinking about just the chorus of that verse, you know, we're born into this world wanting our own way, aren't we? It's just natural. That's how it's the human condition. And we wonder why there's a verse of scripture in Job that talks about that a man that is born of a woman, and that's the only way that a man or a woman can be born is of a woman. There's a few days and full of trouble because of seeking for our own will. And you know, as we go through life, God wants to change that. He wants us so that we can say amen to his will and not our will. You know, it's so you're telling me as I go through life, I'm not going to get everything I want. You know, that this verse, it says, my heart says amen to thy will, Lord, and I know that thou lovest me still. So what that tells me is even if I don't get my will, God still loves me. So in other words, in my thinking, in all my smartness, we'll put that in quotes, you know, most of us, you know, the intelligence, oh, that God gave us, you know, as we navigate through life, we feel like we can, I can figure this out. But you see, I might have something that I want, my will, but God says, no, no, that's not best for you. I want you to say amen to my will. So even though I'm not getting what my will wants, see, God, he still loves me. And matter of fact, he loves me more than I love myself, actually. You know, it's kind of hard to imagine and fathom that, but it's true. He loves us more than we love ourselves. So we recognize as we look at this verse, this chorus, that in order to have my heart to be in agreement with God's will, that it's going to require something of me. It's going to require me recognizing that, number one, there's somebody that's more intelligent than I am. There's somebody that's smarter than me that I have to recognize. He knows what's best for me better than I know for myself. So it's good to recognize that. You know, there's people in the world that would say, they would acknowledge, yes, I acknowledge that there's a God. But there's something else to acknowledge that God knows what's best for me better than I do. And in order to do that, we have to do, as the songwriter said, I stand up in low. Can you be humble standing up? It says, bow low in humble submission. I must humble myself in submission to God's will. And in doing that, I also have to recognize that it might not make sense to me. I might not understand when I look at whatever the circumstance might be. You know, and this again relates to what something that was mentioned this morning. It's just a different way of looking at it, our perspective. No matter what we do, we can't change our perspective, right? Even if it relates to, you know, we talk about, you know, how we interact with other people and try to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. It's impossible to do it, right? Because you're not able to go inside of someone's body and view something from their perspective. And then we're talking about the God of heaven and a perspective that he has. You know, sometimes we can plan things out. Maybe we can plan it's natural. We have a week coming up, right? Lord, if the Lord give us life and breath and strength, right? This is Sunday. We got Monday through Saturday, right? So we can plan certain things, right? So we can forecast, okay, this is what's going to happen on Monday and Tuesday and if the Lord will, so on and so forth. But see, God's perspective sees way beyond all of that. He's looking way down, you know. The problem with our minds is they're limited by time, right? Whereas God's understanding and his perspective is eternity. So who am I, who are any of us as human beings, to be able to look at something and say, my will is better than yours, Lord, when again, we're restricted by time in our thought process where God sees eternity. So in my time, in my way, I could say, well, here's the problem. This is how I see it working out. And this is how long I see that it's going to take. Again, we're talking about our perspective, which is again limited versus God. Yes. Now, his timing and what he sees. Yes. Recognizing that in everything that we deal with and go through in life, there's a purpose for me. And I need to, you know, God is interested in me understanding, okay, in this situation, whatever it is, are you getting from it what I want you to get, right? Versus us not saying, I'll get right to you. But, you know, I want to get out of this. I want to get through this as quickly as I can. Would you rather go through a difficult situation one time and get the purpose in it that God has for you? Or would you rather rush through it the first time and then have to deal with it again? Most of us, if we had a choice, we would say, you know what? I would rather, Lord, I humbly submit to your timing and your will in this so that I get what you would have me to get from it instead of me looking at it and saying, I just want to get through it. Did you have something, Brother Henry?
Add, you know, a little bit into what you had already said. It seems like to me the way of man or mankind is to find the easiest and the most convenient way for ourselves. So if there's conflict between two people, Lord fix them. You know what I mean? If I'm sick, you know, I don't want to go through nothing. And don't get me wrong, I'm that way too. I need Lord to help me. But if I'm sick, heal me, Lord. But what the thing that you said about, am I getting out of the situation what God has in it for me? That's hard to do. It's hard to do because we want to preserve self. We want things to be as easy as they can. And so, you know, the Bible says it's not in man that walketh to direct his own step. If it was up to me, I'd look at the bracket, say, okay, it's the easiest way, and we're doing this. And I'm just being honest. I think most people are like that.
Yeah.
But like you said, God's way is best.
Yes.
God's way is best, and he sees the beginning and the middle and the end and beyond that too.
Yes.
So therefore, we don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
So we have to learn. This is a learn to be.
Yes, yes.
Because the Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn me. Yeah. We have to earn and learn that thing that you, I believe we are born with that. My way, my will, give me my Bible right now. You know, mine if it's a toy, you know, and all those things. It's very, you know, that's
yes.
sharp.
Yes.
You know, we have to unlearn that and then learn that his way is
that. Amen. 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 Brother Johnson. Yeah.
God's will. And I will. God's will. He said, would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
And that leads us to eternal life.
Yes.
If we come into the truth and accept his word in our heart, that leads to eternal life. Our way, he said, his way is the path of our way.
Yes.
It's in the heavens above the earth.
Yes.
If I go my way, I won't lead to eternal life.
Yes.
If I just get my way all the way through life,
yes,
it leads to destruction.
Yes.
But God's way leads to everlasting life.
Yes. Yes.
That's the difference between the two. Okay.
Yes.
I was thinking about the first phrase in the song, I have yielded myself to his service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I've given myself to his service,
yes,
then when we get to the chorus, yes, my heart says amen to thy will.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're in his service.
Yeah.
Are you, am I missing the picture? Or
no, that's that. We'll get to some of these verses and some scriptures related to those, but that's it. The whole point being, whatever it might be, your service, whatever, Lord, you're requiring me to do,
yeah,
my plans and my hopes, you know, but it all goes back to me saying amen to thy will, Lord.
Yes.
For me, having that from the heart, and I'll get right to you. Just one other thing, though. You know, again, the brother mentioned in some other comments about me doing what I feel like is the shortest, best way for me. Again, remember our perspective. See, the sooner that we can in have the thoughts of this songwriter written in our hearts, actually, the more pleasant life is going to be for us. It may not be easier, okay, but the thing is, there's less struggle when we follow the song, right? When we say amen to thy will, Lord, then we don't have to experience as much struggle as we do when we try to do stuff in our way, in our own will, because after we get finished hitting our heads a couple times and we have a bandage on it, and we say, okay, Lord, then guess what we're going to do? We're going to bow low in humble submission. Go ahead, Sister Lord. Yeah.
In the heat of furnace, father, let me stay. I have a fight today for my hand right now, but that's to say something. Yes. Whatever you have for me, I want to get out of it. It's also, I thought about someone said the Lord is trying to take us the easiest route to get to heaven. You know, and often sometimes we have prayed for something and the Lord didn't answer it. Then we look back and say, Lord, I'm so thankful that he did not answer that.
He
knew. So if we can just submit at the beginning and realize that he's taking us the easiest route, just submit to his will.
Amen. Amen. You had something.
I was going to say also, along with what we were saying earlier, how is it going to work? If I get my will and you're going to get your will, you see what I'm saying? Everybody can't get their will. You see what I'm saying? Like, everybody can. If it's the other person's fault all the time, you know, first of all, I'm never going to improve in terms of how God and who God wants me to be.
Right.
And then it's just not possible. It's not possible. So it's good that there's his will, but and both of us, or all of us, can aspire to his will.
Yes.
But we can't, all because all of our wills are different, and all of our wills, it might be good for us, but it's not good for the other person. You see what I'm saying? And so God knows that. So what he does, he's able, and his wisdom, his knowledge, understanding, his smartness, like you said, he's able to look down and look at the problem and say, okay, this is what's going to be advantageous to all parties involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, this is my will. This is how you do things.
Yes.
And God's word is like that. If you look at anything he tells us to do, anything to tell us not to do, It's for the good of not just the individual, but the collective.
Yes.
And so God is now that's his wisdom, that's his way. Amen.
Amen. Sister DeRay, go ahead.
I think often it goes back to this misnomer that we're even really doing our own thing. When Scripture tells us you're either serving God or the enemy.
That's right.
This middle ground doesn't exist, so the enemy gets us with that lie to think, oh, we're free. We're not subject to God. And certainly nobody wants to outright serve the devil, right?
Right. But
we're just, you know, we're doing our own neutral path, which doesn't exist.
That's true.
Why his will, not mine? It's already been made reference to. Because we can't live to ourselves. We cannot live to ourselves. Anything that you do affects other people. Secondly, we really don't even belong to ourselves. You know, we say, I'm me and I'm my, I do what I, you don't even own yourself, really. And there's proof in this. Let's look at two scriptures. Someone get Romans 14:7-8, and then someone get 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Yes.
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord.
Yes, amen.
The writer said, God is our master. We must live to him. Right?
Yeah.
Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's.
Yes.
We belong to him. That's why we don't have a will in the matter. We belong to him. Who had 1 Corinthians 6:19-20?
Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Each and every one of us have been purchased. We was bought with a price. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he paid a ransom for us. Christ's blood is strictly a ransom paid for our redemption.
Yeah.
And the purpose of it was to take away our obligation to punishment.
Yeah.
So it's a trade that was done, that took place. Jesus Christ on the cross, when his blood was shed, it was for each and every one of us. And he said, this is the bargain that took place. In exchange for not having the obligation of punishment. So in other words, if we say, you know what? I don't want it. The ransom that was paid for me, I don't want it. So we, if we choose that, then we will not only have punishment in this life, but we're going to have punishment in the life to come.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So the exchange then was because his blood was shed, he says, I'm going to take away that obligation for punishment. And in exchange, you just need to be obedient. And he says, I have all these things that I want for you. You just have to be obedient. So that's what's taken place. That's why we've been bought with a price and we're not our own. If we don't want the punishment and we want the rewards that he has for us, then he just says, you know what? Just obey my word. You know, sometimes people say that, and I'll get right to you, they say that with their mouth. But you know, there's a verse of scripture that says, if you love me, you'll do what? So I can say it all day long. I love the Lord and I'm going to get to heaven. Do I keep his commandments? See, if I want what he has, that's what I have to do. Go ahead.
Man, I appreciate what's been said. I agree with what's been said. And it's true. The Psalm 191, our song book, is entitled Hope of the Righteous.
Yes.
So for us to have this hope, it tells us how to do. The fifth verse said, we'll pray for God to keep our feet upon the cornerstones and the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We'll give our hearts and our lives to him. The last portion of that says, we are not our own.
Right.
And I appreciate what Sister Dorinda said, what you've been saying. We really are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And we have the ability to accept or reject the terms and conditions that Jesus paid on Mount Calvary.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, there's such a disparity between choosing God and choosing the other way that it's a no-brainer. But somehow, some way, the enemy has been successful down through the years in convincing people that the other way is better, or better yet, that we have our own way and we're in charge. And so may God help us, you know, to remember that we're not our own, and then to live our life in that reality. The Bible says if you save your life, you lose it. Mm-hmm. If you lose your life for his sake and the gospel, you'll find it.
Yes.
And so by losing your gain, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so you give away your ambition, your dreams, your hope, you know, all those things, and you put yourself in God's hand, and that's where you receive the blessings of the Lord. And so may God help us.
And that's easier. That's easier. And it's better. I'll get right to you, Brother Johnson, but one thing I want to mention, and it relates to something that Brother Henry mentioned this morning, talking about we can't save ourselves. And he asked a question this morning, anybody got a heaven? Didn't you? I believe you asked that. I didn't see anybody raise a hand. You know, who can say, I'm going to go to my own heaven that I made for myself? It doesn't exist. Okay?
I'm not.
Right. You know, that's not what it's about. Thy will.
Yes.
You have the place.
Yeah.
I need to meet the conditions in order to get there. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is very interesting what I'm saying. I like that scripture for you bought with a price. Therefore, and you advise your mindset and your spirit. Now, I was thinking about what you said earlier. We're not alone, but we're free moral agents.
Yes.
So we have to make a choice
to
accept the fact that God's way is best.
Yes.
So I want to go His way. His way leads to eternal life.
Yes.
I thought about when Jesus hung on the cross, he says, It is finished.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The plan of salvation was set in place for all humanity. But humans have a choice. Animals doesn't have the same choice.
Right.
That human has. Yeah.
That's right.
So we have a choice to make. And that's why we'll come there.
Yes.
Once we learn and understand that we're separated and alienated from God the Father, the opportunity, we have opportunity to get to Him.
Yes.
So we have to cross that great chasm through the provision that's been made by Jesus Christ on that Calvary.
Yes.
So that's His will.
Yes.
His will is not fair, but also comes to repentance. So if we go His way, it leads back to God the Father, which is what He wanted us to be in the very beginning.
Amen.
Of course, our forefathers failed from that. But God's way is best. And any way we look at it, any way we shape it, in spite of our being having a free moral agent,
yes.
I can do what I please, but it might lead to my destruction
mm-hmm.
if I go my way.
Mm-hmm.
God's way always leads to eternal life.
Amen. So we talked about we've been purchased, we've been bought with a price that took away the obligation to punishment.
Yes.
And gave us an obligation to obedience instead, and a reward.
A reward.
Right? And a reward.
Yes.
So, you know, kind of going back to some of the things that have been said about, well, I'll do my what I want and what I, you know, I don't have to listen to anyone. I don't have to do what He tells me to do. The thing is, there's a verse of scripture that says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And His commandments are not grievous.
Yeah.
The Amplified says, this is 1 John 5:3, if you just want to have it for your notes. For the true love of God is this. If we say that we love God, we already know that He loves us. It's everything that He has done for mankind expresses that. And the things that He continually does on a daily basis, it's expressed. So now when we say, I want to reciprocate that love to Him, that we do His commandments, keep His ordinances, and are mindful of His precepts and teachings. And these orders of His are not irksome, they're not burdensome, they're not oppressive, they're not grievous. And it all works out not only for our good, but for the good of those around us.
Yeah.
Let's touch on, just to try to finish out this thought, let's touch on some of the thoughts on each of these verses. Someone get John 14:15 as we look at this verse of the song that was mentioned. I've yielded myself to thy service, and thy presence my bosom doth feel. O my Savior, I haste to obey thee. And my heart says, amen to thy will. So we, again, remember the exchange. My obedience, so I say, Lord, I'm yours. And I not only do I obey and yield, I haste. What does it mean? What is haste? I just, yes, Lord, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey. Huh? No, that's not haste. Haste is to move so swiftly and rapidly that you're out of breath.
All right.
You're out of breath to obey what God says to do. Now, how quick is that? Right? You know, it's kind of like you ever had something, a bad situation happened and you had to like move quickly. All of us have had those kind of experiences. And then when things settle down, You went from this way to over there real quick. That's how I haste. That's what the songwriter has said. I haste to obey thee.
Yes.
My heart says amen to thy word. What does John 14:15 say?
If you love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So I can just, again, talk about haste, though. Not, I'll get around to it tomorrow, Lord. Today I'm a do me. That's not hasting to obey. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. That's not haste. Again, it's not haste. Go ahead, Sister Randy.
That sentiment is echoed in Psalm number 55, verse 3. It says, "And now I have flung myself recklessly out,
yes,
like a chip on the stream of the infinite will.
Praise God.
I pass through rough rocks with a smile and a shout, and I just let my God, his dear purpose, fulfill."
So I slowly walk. No. It says just throw ourselves in God's hand.
Yeah.
We already his. He already owns us. But again, as you know, we still have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen to thy will. That second verse says, "All the hard times of earth may be sundered, so that I may thy purpose fulfill." Help me. What? But I can have a little hesitation and drawback. I can still gladly submit with a tug, huh? Holding on. You know, if there's two children with a toy, you say, you can play with my toy. And you go to give it to them, and they try to take it. That's not gladly submit. I give you my toy to play with, but then I'm over in the corner pouting. Right? It says gladly submit and what? Not one murmur? Ever saying amen to thy will. Two things of note. Three things. Thy purpose. Not my purpose. Thy purpose, Lord. Which is going to be best not only for me, but also those around me, as the brother made mention of. And then gladly submitting. And not talking about it. Gladly submit and not murmur. Someone get Philippians 2:14-16.
All things without murmurings and disputings.
Do some things with do what? Do all things without murmurings and disputings.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I am not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
We're setting the example, right? We talked about a little bit this morning about Christians. If we as Christians, as we go through this life, go about murmuring and complaining, how is that, what kind of effect does that have upon those around us that say, wait a minute, you talk about you a Christian, but I hear you complaining, oh, I got it Sunday again, we got two services now, I gotta be at church for 5 hours. We gotta pave the way. Help me gladly submit and not murmur, ever saying, amen, amen, to thy will. That third verse says, though my plans and my hopes may seem blighted, I will love thee and trust in thee still, for I know all is well that thou doest. And my heart says, amen to thy will. So when it seems like my plans and my hopes are just destroyed, they're just defeated, again, perspective. God's looking at the picture. You know, if I can't even, this is the only way I can think maybe to try to explain the difference. You ever had those little toys where you put one eye in and you can just kind of see a little spot? Think about that being our vision and our perspective. Can you imagine if that's how you saw the world? And then God being, you take it off and now you can just see. I mean, it's a little different, right?
Yeah.
So it might seem like what I figured out was going to work out best for me, my will, it seems like it. But you know what? Love and trust. My love and trust for God is such that I know he loves me more than I love myself. And whatever he has in store for me, I'm going to say amen.
Yeah.
Yes, amen. Because
it's going to work for my good.
Yeah.
And not only that, that's the blessings of this life. So again, this is our obligation and obedience and the blessings that we can have in this life. But then, in that fourth verse, when I get to heaven. See, it's the blessing. Brother Henry talked about the double blessing or the double benefit, right?
Yes.
When I pass to that heavenly country, and my soul with its glory doth fill, this forever will be my rejoicing. And my heart says amen to thy will.
You'll say amen.
Yes, we will. And guess what you're not going to be thinking about?
Oh, this is nice.
Right. You think when we in glory, in eternity, worshiping with the Father for time and time and time, are we going to be thinking about some trouble or some trial that we had when we was here on the earth? It's going to be the furthest thing from our mind. It's not going to have one iota of significance to us.
But Tabitha, I believe that after it's going to be behind us. You don't know you're going to the right place. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
So, help us to be faithful.
Amen.
Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. He'll give us a crown of life. So, Lord, I not only have the benefits of this life, I get the benefit of going to heaven as well. Let my heart say amen to your will. And help me, by your grace and strength, to do it in the way that the songwriter has described. I desire your prayers because, you know, as long as we're here on this earth, we still got, we have to deal with our humanness.
Yes.
That's true.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. Until we get to glory and we get a new body, Then we, but while we're here, we still have to deal with our humanness.
Yes.
And our humanness is what can interfere with being like the songwriter. Say, I desire your prayers. I want my heart to say amen.
Amen.
To your will. Yes, brother.
Yes,
oh, yes.
Yes. In order for us to continue to look to the Lord, Lord, thy will be done. We want to ever keep heaven in view.
Yes, yes.
Pray for that, Lord. Help us ever keep heaven in view. There's so many things that distract us
from
all of the world.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's difficult to me. But we want to get right back, keeping heaven in view.
Yes.
We all aspire for heaven.
Amen. I desire your prayer. It's my desire by the grace of God that my heart can say amen. I appreciate your time, your attention. I appreciate all the comments.